John 10.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again,
Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said,
He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?
Others said,
These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him,
How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly.
Jesus answered them,
I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them,
Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?
The Jews answered him, saying,
For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God.
Jesus answered them,
Is it not written in your law? I said ye are gods. If he call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him.
Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said,
John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true.
And many believed on him there.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, help us just to Oh, help us to just hear you and to dwell in our secret place, crystal clear, to have real intimacy with you, to know clearly what you want us to do with our lives every day. Bind every spirit that come against us in the right Jesus' name. Loose the spirit of revelation. And Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. This is just something, other things that, when I've been in prayer and things like that, that have been brought to my awareness about to help aid, you know, my sisters and having that clarity in their secret place. So it's just a couple of other things. The first part of this is an earlier podcast. It's also titled Hearing the Voice of God. And this is just more to help out. So I pray it's helpful. Okay, and then the Holy Spirit, this is John chapter 14, I think, in the book of John. Anyways, the Lord says, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will recall to remembrance the things that he said. Okay, and I've seen this in my walk with the Lord, that he uses scripture, he'll quote scripture, kind of like road signs, or like flashcards almost, when I'm in a situation, especially in trials, he'll quote scripture to me to direct my path. Now you do have to be careful, because Satan definitely quotes scripture, okay? And so do his, you know, little minions that shoot fiery darts. So, especially if you struggle with a religious spirit or the spirit of condemnation. Because if we see when Satan is tempting Jesus, he's quoting scripture to him. He actually quotes one of my favorite psalms, which is Psalm 91. But the way he quotes it is different. He twists it, okay? He leaves certain things out. It's just the way that he uses it is it's just different. It's not of the Spirit. So, as always, we have to be walking in the Spirit to discern these things. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal how it's off. So, you know, you can get hit up with a fiery dart that has scripture in it, but it'll always be twisted and off. But that's why it's so important. You want to have yourself, you just really want to be filled with the Word of God and in it continually, because the more scripture says that the horse is prepared against a day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So we do our part. You know, we study the scriptures, we prepare the horse, and then the Lord brings that safety. We fill our minds with scripture. Give the Holy Spirit plenty of ammunition, right? Plenty of flashcards or road signs, whatever you want to call it. That's just for me how it seems. It's like I'm on this path and it's like boom, turn left, boom, turn right. There's like scripture the Lord uses to like direct me, and it's very comforting. You want to give him plenty of scripture to work with, because he'll use other things, but scripture's really that I've seen to be the best, because I've just seen that certain situations are like identical to things that have happened in the Bible. And so he'll use scripture to tell me what to do. And it's very, it's a lot more clear. And so it's very, very helpful. And just on the side note, when I say that like road signs, turn left, turn right, I want to make something clear. The path is straight, Jesus says. Matthew 7:14, I believe it is. He says, straight is the way, right? So the path is not curved. That's not what I'm trying to say. I guess a way to explain this would be, it says this, I think, one of the books of the prophets, I think it's Isaiah, I'm not sure, but put the scripture in the bottom. He says that you'll hear a voice. It's a prophecy about hearing a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, right? This is what the Holy Spirit does. It's like I'm veering off of the path, you know what I mean? And it's like a road sign or like a flash card, boom, you know, turn right, you know, get back on the path, turn left, get back on the path. You're veering just a little bit this way, that way, stay on the straight path. This is how, for me anyways, the Holy Spirit uses scripture to sort of just keep me, you know, in line and on that straight path. And then also be prepared for to wait when desiring to hear the voice of God and hear what He wants you to do. Just be ready to wait, because He's going to speak when He's going to speak to you. And sometimes when you're in a desperate situation, you want answers like right now. And, you know, be guarded that your flesh will try and... or deceiving spirits also will try and, like, you know, sort of, you know, you're hearing your own voice. Do you probably explain that well? You know, it's like he says, you know, that these prophets are hearing. I didn't say that they're hearing their own minds, you know, because it does happen. Your own mind will try and talk to you and act like it's the voice of God, okay? So be prepared sometimes. I mean, the Holy Spirit's always with us, but when you really want that clarity and you really want that answer and that direction from the Lord, be prepared to wait, okay? Because sometimes, and I don't know how long it'll take, every situation's different. It could be days, weeks, months, years, I don't know. But the thing is that you have to be prepared to wait to hear Him. Because He's going to speak when He wants to speak. And when it's the point of time to explain something to you. So just be prepared for that. Be ready to wait. And don't accept any counterfeits. From deceiving spirits, from your flesh, you know, your own imagination, things like that. Really wait for Him to answer you. And when He answers you, you'll know it. Because His voice is just like scripture says, the sheep know His voice. So, when He gives you that answer and that clarity on something you've been praying about for a while, you'll know it, because I know for myself, this is my own testimony, I don't know how to explain it, but my soul just like is moved by Him when He speaks. It's just, you can hear Him and you're like, oh, that's Him. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just like so clear and it's different than anything else, you know. But it takes time, and you got to be willing to keep seeking Him, like scripture says, and seek Him will be found of Him, because it's not going to come quick necessarily. It depends. Everything's, you know, each situation is different, but it may not come quickly. And so what you don't want to do is get impatient and start making moves on your own, start imagining things on your own. You want to be patient and wait and humble yourself before Him. That's why fasting is such a blessing, because you can do that over and over again and keep seeking His face, and eventually, just like that pushy widow, you're going to break through, you know, like it talks about in Luke, that, you know, you're going to break through, you will, because it's in His will to talk to you. Now, He may take you and talk to you, and you got to be willing. All these things that, you know, kind of gone over, all these areas of sin, you know, got to be willing and ready to get rid of that junk. You know what I mean? Because He may want to, before, you know, you get that breakthrough, He may take you through a school and reveal all these things, you know, or one or two, or whatever it is, or something else that, you know, that we haven't even talked about here. I don't know. But He may take you and want you to start, you know, getting rid of stuff that's bringing a blockage between you and Him. Be ready and humble to do whatever is necessary, to repent of whatever He wants you to repent of, you know, to sort of clean out your that garbage, you know what I mean, and get rid of it. You know, be ready and willing, you know, but keep at it, keep going, and be patient for that breakthrough, to hear Him clearly, because sometimes it does take time, but it's well worth it. Because all he needs to do, and I just, you know, sound like a broken record, but there are times where I've been seeking his face for a while on things and waiting to hear his instructions. And then he speaks, and it's like just, it's just like one instant, you know what I mean, of him saying something to me, and it's like, boom, light is shined all over the situation. I have understanding on it. I know exactly what to do. All of my, you know, pride in my heart and sin and rebellion has been revealed, you know, just things like that. And it's just like, I can like see clearly. It's like, all it takes is like 1 second. So it doesn't even matter how long the wait is, because when the Lord, you know, does decide, you know what I mean, to answer that prayer and to answer and to speak into a situation, it just transforms everything. So it doesn't really matter how long the wait is, because he's always worth it. But that's why it's so important to continually be in the scriptures, you know, and just dwelling in that secret place, doing what we know to do in the meantime, because sometimes, you know, it's just we need to be obedient. So in the meantime, we do what we know we are supposed to do, because he's already given us instructions on something else, you know, and we're just supposed to do those. And then if there's something else that he wants from us, he'll tell us that at a point in time, if that's his will. But I will say this, as you're reading the scriptures, once again, that's why we really got to humble ourselves before the Lord, and really just seek him with the whole heart and love him with all our mind, body, and soul, and die to self. Because I have seen at the same time Christians that are reading their Bible on a regular basis, and they get deceived still. And they'll tell me, well, you know, the Bible says this, so I did this. And the thing is that there's a twisting of scripture. I mean, scripture can be twisted, okay? This is where you get all false religions from that call themselves Christians, but they're actually cults and, you know, legalistic or whatever. They take scriptures. I mean, the Catholic Church does this. It's got scripture for stuff. But, you know, anybody who's familiar with their doctrine know that it's got a pagan origin. So scripture can be twisted, okay? And I have seen Christians saying that they got a word from God when they're reading their Bible, and it's so clearly contrary to the spirit of scripture. That's why he says not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, right? Because scripture can be twisted, okay? But you'll know a tree by its fruit, okay, scripture says. So a lot of times these false instructions that people get when they're in the scriptures, they say, well, God told me this in the Bible because it says this in the Bible. You can see the fruit of it, because it's contrary to that the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Over time, you can see it revealed. But the thing is that a lot of times where this comes from is false motives. Trying to, like, puzzle pieces or like a plug God's word into what we want, right? Okay, so there's not been a dying to self there, okay? It's not about your will be done in truth, like really in sincerity, Lord. I want your kingdom come, your will be done, you know? Because it just takes a little leaven. Scripture says a leaven of the whole lump. So if we're inserting our desires into there, and then that's a place for deception to creep in, because I'm telling you, I've come across Christians where it's like, well, they said the Bible, and if you want something, you can find scripture to support it, okay? It's very easy to do that, okay? Things that are clearly contrary to the spirit of God, okay? Being justified with, you know, a couple of scriptures here and there. It's very possible, very easy to do this. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, people will reap the fruit of that, okay? And so we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we're following the spirit, you know, of the Word of God. And the only way, really, that I've seen to have victory in this area is, you know, staying away from deceptions. You got to die to self. Jesus is not playing when he says that. I mean, I could be mistaken, but I'm just sharing with you what I've seen in both my own walk and with other Christians. It's like, it's just simple. Like, every time Satan creeps in there with deception, it's because somebody's concerned with themselves. You know, me first. I want. And there's not this, like, I'm dead. attitude. You know what I mean? It's over. My life is hidden in Christ. Him first. That's the only, from what I've seen, true safe place. Because it's just like that flesh, that will, that self-will just creeps in there a little bit. And it's really all what I've seen Satan need to start deceiving Christians and getting them and pulling them off the path and getting them in caught into traps and snares. So really that safe zone is me. My life is over. Everything. God first. My life, my job, my kids, my family, my husband, my health, you know, just everything. God first. What will glorify God? And then he takes care of us. But then also, when, you know, you are dying to self and are crucifying your flesh, you also, you know, scripture says all the time, don't veer from the left to the right. You understand that the Lord, you know, his character. Like, you know, when people would come and ask for healing, you know, Jesus would grant them healing. He said, according to your faith, you know, is given unto you. Like, you have to understand the nature and character of God, because I have come across this where people are dying to self, you know, but then they're kind of veering off to the other side where they think that the Lord never wants to help them or take care of them. So be aware of that. Just, you know, as always, walk in the Spirit, you know. He does that and straightens things out, but you just want to be aware that, you know, his character, God's, you know, loving and kind character, where he came and saved us, you know, died for us when we were still sinners, you know what I mean? So not having this mindset the Lord never wants to, you know, help you and take care of you, and that he doesn't love you, you know what I mean? And you're not necessarily going to know everything. You're not going to know exactly what will glorify God. There's sometimes you think, well, this will glorify God, and you're wrong. But he'll correct you, you know what I mean? And it's not going to be something that you have. It's a continual daily thing, dying to self. Take up the cross daily. But the beginning of understanding is to set your free will to do that. To actively do it, and he'll reveal areas where you're not doing it. You may think you are dying to self. You may think it's his kingdom first, and it's not. There's areas where you are deceived or still holding on to something, and he'll, you know, set that straight for you. But it all begins with our free will, setting our mind to do that, deciding that's it, it's over, him first. That's the beginning of it. It's not going to be perfect. We're not going to get it all together. I pray, you know, that everyone would. But that's just what I've seen, is that it's a process of dying daily. And he teaches you. I mean, there's times where I thought I was dead to self. And then, boom, he's like, nope, you're still alive over here. And then there's the revelation, right? What's the answer question? Right? What's the answer? You're still alive over here. What are you going to do? All right, Lord, here you go. Die to self. I'm not going to fight you on this, right? It's yours. I'm sorry. Sorry, Lord. It's yours, right? Okay, that's all he needs. The Lord can move mountains. He'll set you straight. He'll get it all done. It's all him. All he needs is us to say yes, our free will. Okay, and then he just works miracles within us.
As a matter of fact, it's how the apostles, they recognized Jesus, you know, by faith. It's because they believed that he was the Messiah. But then the Holy Ghost, later on, as they're, you know, writing down the account of Jesus Christ, you can see where they quote scripture, you know, how he fulfilled prophecy. But once again, this goes back to the Holy Spirit, because, you know, the scribes, they knew scripture, okay? Pharisees knew scripture, but they were blind, and they had no faith. They didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, so they couldn't recognize Jesus through the scriptures. So it's not the scriptures themselves, it's the Holy Spirit, okay? It's, we're saved by faith, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that does this, but it's just a good example of how he uses scripture. And then also, you know, once again, I think I've said this before, but it's very helpful. If you don't find yourself desiring to read the Bible, ask the Lord to, you can pray, you know, you can fast and pray and ask the Lord to increase your love for him, because Scripture says that that the Word was made flesh, meaning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus Christ, Scripture says, is the Word, okay? So that's why when we spend time in our Bible, it's like the Bible's alive, and it's supernatural, and it reads us, and it, like, it just, and we feel so comforted with Scripture, and, you know, sometimes we hear Scripture, and it, like, cuts right to our soul, because it's the Spirit of God. It's real, and when we spend time in the Word of God, we're spending time with Christ, and this, once again, by faith, okay? This is through the Holy Spirit, okay? Someone who's not saved and doesn't have the Holy Spirit can't even understand the Scriptures, okay? But that just testifies more and more to the fact that it's alive and true, okay? So ask to increase your love. So to help you increase your love of Him, because you really do find that, you know, as you spend time with you know, that relationship and that closeness, that intimacy is strengthened by spending time in the Word of God, because Scripture says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then also another wonderful tool is music, in particular harp music. When Saul had the distressing spirit, David would come and play the harp, and it would help him. And then also Elisha, he asked for a minstrel, which from what I understand is similar to a harp, to be played, and then the hand of the Lord came upon him. So sometimes music can be helpful in sort of bringing, I've seen this, it's been helpful in bringing me into that quiet place, into my secret place with the Lord. And just Google harp music. I don't know much about music, but I do know, like, there's just something really nice about it. That's a blessing to me. Okay, and then worship. The first thing Jesus does when he's teaching his disciples how to pray is being in prayer. You know, he says, "Hallowed be thy name." You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing that comes out is worship. And there's many times I'll be in prayer and the Lord just says, "Worship me," because He's God, you know. He says, "I will be exalted. Be still and know that I am God." He says, "I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in all the earth." Like, He's just God. You see that in the book of Revelation. They're just throwing their crowns down and they're just worshiping Him. Part of being in God's presence, which that's exactly what's happening, right? When we are, you know, in our prayer closet, we're coming into, you know, that Holy Ghost communion, that, you know, oneness with the Lord, that part of just being in His presence is worship. And this can be more of a challenge if you're in the midst of a difficult trial. Your eyes may be down and you're focused on your problems. But don't be surprised if the Holy Spirit leads you to worship. Say, "So what? Just worship. You know, just worship Him." And part of this is just taking account. And you don't want it to be like a fake, forced thing, but genuinely taking account, even when you're struggling, because a lot of times, you know, sometimes you'll be in the midst of a trial, even when you're in that, taking account of what He is doing and what He has done and what you are grateful for. Because if we open our eyes and really, you know, take a look at our circumstance, there are things to be grateful for, genuinely, you know. And, you know, that's something that the Holy Spirit's led me to do, take account of what I do see and what I do have and what He has done and be grateful for it. And it brings me into a place of genuine worship, even though my circumstances may be difficult. But it's just, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's just the nature of being in the presence of God. And He says to the woman at the well, He says, "For the time is coming when you won't worship in temples," right? In the temple, you'll worship in God is spirit, and you'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's a key part of being in the presence of God, which is, you know, that's where we are when we're trying to hear the Lord's voice. We're in His presence. We're trying to talk to Him. We're trying to hear Him, hear His direction for our lives. Part of that is worship, because He's just God. He's just great. He's glorious. He's kind of just,
one of these, you know, supernatural, heavenly things where it's like, you can't really, you can just, I mean, being in his presence just commands worship because he's so glorious and perfect and beautiful. So the Holy Spirit will a lot of times bring us, you know, once again, not this fake stuff, but the Holy Spirit will genuinely come and pull us into a place of worship because he's God. He's God, you know. And so just being brought into that place where you tell him that you love him, that you genuinely love him, you know, no matter what's going on and, you know, everything, just love him. Just love the Lord with all your mind, body, and soul, all your heart, everything you got. Just love him is the first and greatest commandment. And then, of course, always just reading the Word of God. As we read the Word of God reads us. And Scripture says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, dividing between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. So as we just spend time reading his word will talk to us also. And then also too, I just want to explain something. The goal with these teachings is not necessarily to understand everything and know everything. So be really careful with that. The goal is to know what God wants us to do as we are on our walk. Just to have clarity on what his instructions are. And this is important because sometimes there can be this desire to understand the bigger picture and everything. And that's up to the Lord, what he wants to explain to us and what he doesn't want to explain to us. Really, our part is just to have a heart to know what God wants us to do in situations and to do it. Because there's plenty of times where I have no idea what's going on. Like super confused, I'll confess that. But I do know what he wants me to do, and I do it, okay? And then later on, he will at times explain things to me. He's been actually very kind and explained a lot to me afterwards, but he a lot of times just wants us to keep going, you know, in obedience. We can see this with Job, okay? The goal was for Job to keep his faith all the way through and not, you know, curse God. He had no idea what was going on. It was okay, but he kept going. And this is a mindset that we really want to have, because understanding what's going on is really not that important if we're not going to obey his instructions, right? A lot of times people fully understand what's going on, but they don't want to do what they know they're supposed to do. That's not really the important part. The important part is to know what God wants us to do and to do it, you know. This is to avoid confusion and deceptions on things, you know. I pray that's helpful. And it's really important if you're listening and you're what's, you know, what people call a prepper, you know, stocking up goods and things like that. This, you know, if it's led of the Spirit, is absolutely wise. It's got to be led of the Spirit, though. It's very important. Just a word of caution not to focus too much on the carnal. I heard one prophet say it this way, that someone was asking him if they should store up goods and things like that. And he said, focus on your relationship with the Lord, because if that's not squared away, you'll go and your stuff will stay. It's kind of funny, but it is true. It is true. See, the things of the Spirit are very different. And I'm praying I can explain this properly. There's just no shortcuts. And there's no, you have to just go through it. And when you're going through it, you really have to have faith, because it's in the mind. That's why so much scripture says, lest you faint in your mind. This is Hebrews 12, right? And then also Galatians, do not grow weary, lest you, for in due season you shall reap, if what? You faint not, right? So much of it is in the mind. He talks about the helmet of salvation.
Which is absolutely necessary. Good grief. Towards the end here. It's always essential, but especially in the end, focused on where we're going. Focusing on eternity, you know, finishing this race. Having our mind guarded, because the Holy Spirit, definitely, I'm not saying that he doesn't lead people to prep carnally, okay? I believe 100% that he does, okay? Once again, it's got to be led of the Spirit, though. Don't lean on to your own understanding. Very, very, very important. But he is working with people on their weaknesses and on those areas that will be a temptation later on. And that's why it's not one size fits all. Everybody's different, okay? We all have these spots within us that only the Holy Spirit knows that he's working on, right? So it's like a coach, you know what I mean? We have 10 ladies, you know, that he's prepping to run a marathon, and he knows that this one, you know, stays up too late, doesn't get enough rest. So he's really working on her on getting proper rest. This one overworks herself, you know, and doesn't know how to let her muscles, you know, recuperate. So he's working on that with her. This one's, you know, naturally very athletic, you know, but she doesn't train properly and sort of wings it. So he's working on her, you know, with that discipline. You know what I mean? This one eats, you know, a whole bunch of you know, junk food the day before a race, and she's gifted and able to run, but she needs to work on her diet. This one's, you know, very skilled, but she lacks, you know, the ability. She doesn't know how to pace herself, right? She goes out the gate, you know, with everything she has, and then she doesn't know how to finish, you know, and so she always has to pace herself properly throughout the marathon. Things like that, right? The Holy Spirit knows these areas of weakness, and so he's working on us in the inner man, what scripture calls strengthening the inner man. So it's really important as time approaches, as the time approaches, because I see a lot of this with the prepping and the doomsday and the storage and things like that. But we have to understand the whole world's going to be handed over to a great deception. And prior to that, whatever's going to happen, you know, within the United States, things like this, it's all spiritual, okay? So you can be squared away carnally, right? Okay, that's what he says, right? You know, this man stores up his goods in his barn, and then he says, "Ah, my soul can rest." He says to his soul, "You know, rest. You know, for your, you know, you've got all these goods squared away. You know what I mean, in your barn." And then the Lord says, "You fool! You know, your soul will be required of you this night." You know, we don't want to have that mindset. Okay, obviously, you know, here we're talking about people that are believers. Okay. But the thing about it is that you can have that mindset, okay, you know, and still be a believer. The Holy Spirit won't allow you to. He'll bring conviction for that. But you can, you know, sort of this fear spirit grips us when we see what's going on, and then we want to make sure we're squared away our house and this and that, having no idea that, you know, a tornado can pass and our house can be gone. And the Lord was trying to work on us about having faith and walking by faith and knowing that his provision comes directly from him and not from what we do. That can happen. Okay. A fire, something can consume all of our goods, you know, and because the Lord was focused on having us walk by faith. And then the person is sustained by the care of others possibly, or supernaturally. Okay. Like Hagar, where the Lord opened her eyes in the middle of a desert to a well. Okay. Who knows? All right. So it's really important not to focus, to focus on whatever. And that's why I'm doing these podcasts and things like that, and in particular this hearing the voice of God, to focus on what he is telling us and not to lean onto our own understanding, okay? Because long before Noah built the ark, scripture says that he walked with God, okay? He walked with God, all right? And that he was perfect. Okay, what does Jesus say to us? He says, be there for us, Matthew 5, I think, right? But the scripture's at the bottom. But he says, be ye perfect, as even as your Father in heaven is perfect, right? Okay, that's what that coach is doing with all the ladies that he's got getting ready for this marathon, right? Making them perfect. Squaring them away individually with what they're lacking, okay? We have to let the Holy Spirit do this with our inner man, okay? Or whatever it is that he wants us to do. But let's take heed, you know, with Noah. What did he do? He walked with the Lord. He was perfect. And then the Lord gave him the carnal commands. Okay? So we really want to be mindful when the Holy Spirit's dealing with the inner man, not to get distracted on carnal things, okay? All right, because this battle that's coming will be spiritual, okay? It's going to be both carnal and spiritual. It'll be both, okay? But it's the inner man, okay? It's the inner man, okay, that the Holy Spirit, okay, works with. And then the inner man, what? Faith produces works, right? Then the inner man moves the carnal flesh to do what the Lord is saying. Pray I'm explaining that well, okay? It goes boom, 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 right? We walk with the Lord, we listen to the Holy Spirit, strengthening the inner man, and then the inner man, okay, as he's strengthened, then he moves our carnal flesh to produce those works of faith. Build that boat. Walk over there. Do this, do that. I pray I'm explaining that well. So I pray that all this is helpful, because just sharing my testimony when I was younger in the faith, and I'd read the Bible, and I would see God talking to people, you know, both in the Old and the New Testament, you know. I was like confused. I was like, how did they talk to God? How did they know what God wanted them to do, you know, like with like Noah, Abraham, and then, you know, in the book of Acts, you know, with things Philip, you know, and things like that. And sometimes, you know, scripture specific, it's like a, you know, it's different. The Lord reveals himself in different ways, you know. Sometimes it's, you know, is, you know, miraculously, like with the burning bush, you know. And with, you know, more great signs and wonders. But as I walk with the Lord, I realize that sometimes it's just in the Spirit. He's just talking by faith to his servants. You know, you see this. Where, like, in the book of Jeremiah, where, you know, the Lord is just talking to him in the Spirit, you know. There are things like open visions, you know, and whatnot. And those are different, but I just pray this is helpful, because I really did. I used to read and didn't understand how these people in the Bible knew what God wanted. And when I would just read and see that, you know, God said this to them, and the Lord told them this, and like, how did he do that, you know? And I realized that as I walk with the Lord, that he does the same with his people now. You know, he talks to us and tells us what to do in this crazy, fallen, and very dangerous and evil, wicked world, to keep us safe. And, you know, Jesus says that in the end times, that it'll be as the days of Noah. And it's manifold, I believe, what he means with that. But I think he's talking about, like, the evil in the world and the few. Look at the whole world, and says in Peter. But only, I think, it's 8 people, I think he says. It's very few. God, grief, that's a few. Whew, God help us. Jesus says it's in the days of Noah. So I believe that it's, you know, it has to do with like the condition of the world and the way things were. Like he says, people were just going on their merry lives and having no idea, like he says, until he got in the boat. But Noah had instructions. You know, the Lord had things for him to do. And so I'm praying so much that this can be helpful, because it's a very, spiritually, it is a very confusing time in the world. Just there's a lot of deception, a lot of deception out there. So having clarity is important in faith, but also understanding that just like Noah had a job to do, very clear and specific job. I believe that this is going to be
the same towards the end. That we'll really have to be discerning, dying to self and seeking Lord with our whole heart, and seeking His instructions for our lives with the same faith that Noah had, and obedience, and obedience, and knowing that sometimes it's hard when the Lord is talking to you and you know it's Him. Don't be surprised if you feel like you're insane. And everything that you see is the opposite from what the Lord is saying. I've seen this happen, where everything I saw was, just been through certain trials where it was like, everything I saw was the complete opposite of what the Lord was telling me. And it was, I really had to keep going by faith. And looking back, I'm so grateful that I did. Because everything that He said, came to pass. But in the midst of it, it was pure faith. Because I couldn't see anything, any evidence of what He was telling me. Which, once again, this is faith, right? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And He kept telling me that scripture over and over again. So I'm saying, Holy Spirit uses scripture. Kept reminding me, you're looking for things that are seen, and that's not faith. But it was hard, and there were a lot of attacks. That's why scripture says, lest you faint in your mind. There's a lot of attacks on my mind. And as I kept going by faith, it was a bit frightening. I'm not going to, I'm being honest, it was, because I was like, at the end of, speaking one trial in particular, I was like, at the end of this, I'm going to look, if I'm wrong, I'm going to look insane. This is either going to turn out great and wonderful, and it'll be miraculous, or I'm going to look insane. There's no middle ground on this. And, but once again, remember, in the days of Noah, it hadn't even rained yet. Okay? Think about that faith Noah had. Okay? There's a flood that came. But remember, there wasn't even such a thing as rain. No one ever even seen rain before. But he's building this boat. Think of that faith. Bible doesn't say, but that's just my humble opinion, but I really think that, just Noah had some, he probably had, I don't know, I just think that that was some very strong faith. Very strong faith. To hear what the Lord was saying and obey Him, knowing how things looked when there was not even such a thing as rain before, and to know that He and His family were going to be the only ones. Like this story, we grow up with it, we hear it in little pictures and cartoons. This is a real story. It's a real story. This really happened. I think sometimes our minds can water it down. But think about that. Think about that. Think about that. No such thing as rain ever even happened. And Noah's going out, hearing what the Lord wants him to do, and obeying. God, help us. And knowing there's just going to be this small group in the whole world
about that. Just give it a minute and let that sink in. No one knew that him and his family were going to be the only ones in the entire world to get through the flood. None of them saw it. None of them saw it or heard it but him. Nobody knew what was going to happen but him. We're going to have real faith. We're going to have real faith as we keep going. Blind faith. Real faith. Jesus says, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? This is as in the days of Noah. And the whole world, scripture says, is going to be worshiping the devil. But those that remain in the faith. And if the Lord is preparing you and working on you with this type of faith, God help us, Lord Jesus. If he is really pulling you to another level of faith, if you're hearing him and you're in your prayer closet daily and you're talking with him and he's telling you to keep going and keep believing on something where you just feel like am I crazy? If you're asking yourself, I'm being honest, okay? If you're asking yourself, am I crazy? You know? What he's telling me to do, how he's telling me to keep going, this sounds so different, you know, and it's pulling your faith to a whole nother level. Remember Noah. Really, really heed what Jesus said, that in the end times, as the days of Noah, think about his faith. And take the Lord at his word. And let the Holy Spirit just take you to this whole nother level of faith. Whole nother level of faith. I'll say this to any of my sisters that are listening. We've got tough times ahead. Bible's already prophesied it. We know it's true. We see it coming. And just have faith. Do what the Lord is telling you to do. Lean not onto your own understanding. Whatever the Holy Spirit's urging you to do, just do it. All of us, you know, let's just keep going. Having faith, okay? Believing. And trusting and walking and going. And one day we're gonna get through this. You know, think about that. We're gonna get to the other side. And, you know, like Peter says. The household of God, you know, narrowly escaped judgment. You know, that's going to be us. We're going to be there in heaven. Finish this race. Keep going all the way through until the end. Each trial, believing, having faith, going and going and going and going and going. And we'll be there by faith one day. The new Jerusalem. Praising God. And you're going to look back. Just like Peter says. Realizing that we narrowly escaped judgment. But the blood of Jesus. Giving glory to God. I'll look back and think, praise God, we escaped this world. By the blood of Jesus. And it's going to be narrow. He says, narrow. Jesus says, narrow is the gate. We're going to look back and we're going to say, wow, that was narrow. I barely made it. By the blood of the Lamb, He pulled me through. And it was narrow. He kept me on the straight and narrow path. Look how close. Look how close it was on the other side. Narrow. Narrow. Barely made it. By faith. And His Holy Spirit pulled me through. But look how dangerous it was back there. So let's keep going. Let's keep having faith. One body, one spirit. Loving the Lord with all our mind, body, and soul. You keep going and you keep fighting. And remember how narrow it is. And how serious you need to take these things. And keep going, and keep going, and keep going. Because I didn't tell you this from my own testimony that this one particular trial was really hard, that the Lord pulled me through by faith, and He kept telling me what to do, and I just every day had to keep listening to Him and having faith, you know. And it was very hard. That when it was over, I remember, oh my God, when, because the Lord told me what He was going to do, and He told me very specifically, though, that I had to be obedient and keep doing what He said every day. And it was hard, and I felt like I looked like people probably would think I was crazy. And I was, you know, afraid. I was like, what if I am crazy? What if this is wrong? You know, but all I had was His word, you know, the scriptures, and what I knew His Holy Spirit was telling me in my prayer closet. That's all I had was faith. I just kept going by His grace and power, that when the trial was over, and it's interesting because it was over for like a couple of days or so, but it didn't sink in yet that this trial was over and that what God told me was going to happen happened. I remember waking up in the middle of the night when it finally hit me that the trial was over and everything He said was going to start happening. And already had started happening. Remember, I woke up weeping in the middle of the night. So grateful, but then also so terrified. What if I had quit? What if I had doubted? And I just, it was so true how narrow this trial was, how narrow it was to finish. And the only way I made it through the trial was humbling myself every day and seeking God's voice, seeking His will, and listening and going one day at a time. I'd do it every day. I remember how amazed I was when I saw He said, happening and seeing how narrow it was to get through that trial. And I don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, but I suspect that the same impact, this is my humble opinion, probably hit Noah when all the animals
supernaturally came to his ark. You see, it was all faith. It was all faith. But that moment when he saw all these animals by the command of God walking into the boat, and then seeing the water fill the whole earth, I don't know, but I suspect he's probably very humbled and thankful that the Lord pulled him through that. And I believe that because, you know, there's this verse where it says that this whole, like, group of believers show up before the throne, and they're praising God, and they're singing, praising God, you know? Because I think they realize that they barely made it. Because it is narrow. It is narrow. And we have to just let His Holy Spirit get us through and humble ourselves continually. In prayer, Lord, we ask, first of all, if there's anybody listening to this who's not born again, let's pray that they will receive the Holy Spirit, become born again through your death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and take a leap of faith and receive eternal salvation and a new life. And then for all my sisters that are listening, I just pray that we are able to really hear you, Father, and dwell in our secret place, hear you with crystal clarity, and obey you. I ask all these things of you, Father, and your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread on the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 57. To the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth.